Flannery O'Connor tells a great story about a time that a man from the telephone company came out to her house to do a bit of work on her telephone. Now, after the repairman had finished his work, he noticed that she kept peacocks on her land. And so he spent much of the next 20 minutes trying to coax one of the peacocks to display, to put up all of its big, beautiful plumage. And she insisted to the repairman that all he really needed to do was just wait, and the bird would eventually display. But the man got bored and frustrated, and he climbed into his truck in order to drive away. And sure enough, what do you think? At that very moment, it's when the bird puts up all of its beautiful tail feathers in a typically magnificent spread. The display, she writes, was perfect. And so Flannery O'Connor calls to the man, the repairman in his truck. She calls to him and beckons him to come back, and he stands there for a moment, observing the bird with all of its beautiful plumage, and she asks him, "Well, what do you think about it?" "Never saw such long, ugly legs," he said. "I bet that rascal could outrun a bus." You know, sometimes we shouldn't say the first thing that comes into our head. Sometimes we really should just stand still and pay attention and just keep our mouth shut. Sometimes the very best thing we can do in life is to be quiet. Peter, James, and John go up the mountain to pray with Jesus. And while they are there, the glory of Jesus' divinity is revealed before them. He was transfigured before them, Matthew writes, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And then, as though the scene needed any more splendor and majesty, Moses and Elijah show up, two of the greatest and most revered figures from all of Israel's history, and they begin to talk with the dazzling Christ. And the whole scene is utterly profound and awesome, and one of those moments that you just might hear someone say in response, "Well, words fail me." You know, because it's one of those moments that leaves you speechless, because to say anything in the moment would be a break to its power. And yet, what does Peter do? He opens his mouth. And while what he says is not quite as crass and silly as the telephone repairman gazing upon the peacock and commenting on its long, gangly legs, what Peter has to say is not really a whole lot better. Essentially, when faced with the full display of our Lord's divine glory, rather than simply stand there and experience it, Peter babbles the very first things that pop into his head. "Lord, it's a really good thing we're here. I'm so glad I'm here. You know what? I know what you need. You need tents. That's what you need. Tents, right? Tents. I'm going to make you some tents. Yeah. And then you could be in the tents. I think that's what would help. I really think that it would help if you and Moses and Elijah, you had tents. What do you think?" That's pretty much what he says. His babbling is the epitome of compulsive speech. What we often more commonly referred to as word vomit. When you open up your mouth and words just come spilling out that don't necessarily have a point or a purpose other than to fill the empty space. Peter had no idea what to say or what to do, and yet he couldn't control himself from saying the very first thing that popped into his head. But the truth is that sometimes we shouldn't say the first thing that comes to our minds. Sometimes we really should just stand still and pay attention and keep our mouths closed. Sometimes the very best thing that we can do in life is to be quiet. We live in an age that values and prioritizes noise. We talk about everything. And when we're not talking, we're posting. And when we're not posting, we're commenting. And when we're not commenting, well, then we're liking someone else's posts or comments. Our society rewards people who have a quick remark, a biting retort, a witty comment. But it feels like for all of the talking that we do, not a whole lot of it is terribly thoughtful or worthwhile. And much of it seems as though it was the very first thing that popped into that person's head. And perhaps even more problematic than that, for all the talking that we do, it feels like there is not a reciprocal amount of careful listening happening in response. In the Transfiguration story, there's this amazing and funny and easily missed detail that has everything to do with this. It says that while Peter is babbling on about building tents, a cloud descends upon the whole mountain, upon them. And a voice literally interrupts Peter and says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Now, I've always thought when I heard this story, and I've heard it, I don't even know how many dozens of times, I've always thought of it as simply a declaration of God the Father about the divine identity of Jesus. But then this last week when I read it again, a word stuck out to me in a way I never had before. Listen. Listen to him, God the Father says. Stop talking so much. Quit your babbling, Peter. Stop filling every moment with chatter and noise. God literally has to interrupt Peter with a cloud out of heaven to remind him to not always say the very first thing that comes into his mind, but to stand still and to be quiet and to listen. You and I are also in the presence of the transfigured Christ. And I believe that God has something similar to share with us today. God is eager for us to do a whole lot more listening. We need to be quiet. We need to pause before we speak. We need to resist that overwhelming compulsion to speak, to talk all the time. We need to model a different sort of presence in this world with our words and with our ears. Because I am convinced that the level of dialogue and conversation in our society will not begin to change unless Christians model a holier way of speaking and hearing. Let me give you a couple of examples about what I'm talking about. I know that for myself, when I am in conversation, it is extremely tempting to spend the time that I am listening to that other person formulating what it is that I'm going to say in response. They're talking, but rather than really hearing what it is that they're saying, I can easily catch myself focusing on what it is that I have to say back to them. I wonder, do any of you struggle with that too? I'll take the laughter as assent. But you see, if we value that other person enough to engage in a conversation with them, then we should value what it is that they have to say enough to actually listen to it, rather than formulating our response to what they have to say while they're talking. Maybe it's because of the contentious nature of our national discourse right now, but it feels like we have confused the art of conversation with the rules of debate. And somehow we have come to believe that we have to be ready with our remarks the minute there is a break, any kind of a break in the talking, so that we can get our word in edgewise. But you see, as Christians, our speech is a tool for holiness, for building one another up, for expressing kindness and compassion. And in the inside out and upside down way of the kingdom of God, it actually turns out that our speech actually becomes holier and more compassionate the less of it is that we do, the more that we listen. Here's another example. In our social media age, many of us are always thinking about how we will share our experiences even while we're having them. We are posting literally from the mountaintop or from the concert or whatever it is that we are, where we are, rather than simply enjoying that moment for the moment's sake. It's like somehow we haven't actually experienced the thing unless we've been able to tell somebody about it. And as a parent, I own this about myself. I know this pattern. We are always trying to figure out how a moment with our girls could become a Facebook post or something that we could share with others. But the truth is that God really does intend some beautiful moments just for us, as gifts for us to experience and enjoy. Lent begins this Wednesday. So I want you to consider a Lenten discipline of quiet. Monks and nuns practice this discipline in their lives, observing what are known as the lesser and greater quiets in the course of their day. Now, the greater quiet is that silence that stretches in a monastery or convent from the end of Compline or nighttime prayers all the way to the next morning and the start of morning prayer. During that time, they speak no words. The lesser quiet is that which stretches actually through the whole of the day, when they speak, but only when it is necessary and essential. Now, they speak graciously and kindly. They tell stories. They share joy. But they also appreciate the beauty of the quiet between the words. And the holy truth that not everything that could be said to someone else actually needs to be said to someone else. Sometimes more can be communicated with less. So this Lent, I invite you into this reflective and careful quiet. When you are in a group, consider what it might be like to not try and get a word in every time. When you are in a conversation, consider what it might be like to ask more questions than make statements. When you are perusing articles or content online, consider not posting or commenting at all, or at least make a policy with yourself of not clicking the submit button for at least an hour to make sure that your words are good and necessary and above all, kind. Now I get the irony that we have just shared in a loud fellowship breakfast in Roper Hall. All of the noise that filled this church, joyful noise that has filled this church all morning long. I get the irony of talking about it on a morning such as this. I get the irony that some of you are introverts and you're sitting here going, yeah, this sounds good. Yeah. I can do this, finally. Something I can easily do. I get that some of us feel a strong desire to speak into what we feel like is a chaotic and troubling world right now, and that we feel like our voices of resistance are needed badly. And yet we can still say less and listen more. We can still resist all of the compulsive speech that fills our world. We can still show more care with our words. Even in the midst of conversation, we can make room for quiet in ourselves and in the world, trying to experience our lives rather than always comment about them, to listen both to God and to one another rather than always looking for our own words first, to be attentive for where God is present in our midst rather than always filling that space with noise. Because God has come and is coming among us, appearing in our midst as His well-beloved Son. Let's listen to Him. And all of God's people said,